So we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. Is that okay with y'all?
As if we haven't already.
Well, as if we haven't already. We've done some different things this morning, haven't we? It's been a great Sunday already between having missionaries and a baptism and all of you here with us, whether you're in the sanctuary or you're joining us later on during the week or during the live stream right now. We're going to do something a little bit different and team teach this morning. And so we hope that goes well with you. We actually just hope it goes well.
Yeah, we're praying.
We're praying. We ask you to pray as we go this morning. But let's take a moment to go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the privilege of being together in this place to celebrate what you are doing in us and among us and through us. We pray, God, that the burdens that we bear would connect to our calling, God, and that our calling, Lord, would send us out by your Holy Spirit to do your work in ministry in the world. Drive us to our knees in prayer that we might stand in faithfulness to do the good work that you're calling us to. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we pray that this sermon would be encouraging to you. We've been in a series of Nehemiah called The Good Work, but it's actually going to start off with some things that could be a little bit difficult. It's about standing strong in the face of opposition. And here's what I hope you understand. Any time that God leads you, that he prompts you to do something meaningful, to make a difference, something that's generous or abundant, something that benefits someone else, any of these things, you should expect opposition. You can count on obstacles. You can expect spiritual resistance to come and try to slow your work and the work that God is asking of you. I mean, just take a minute and think through some of our Sunday school lessons we heard as kids, right? Adam and Eve are serving God, and here comes the evil serpent to resist and distract them from God's will. Moses had Pharaoh.
Pharaoh, yeah.
Yeah. And then we have David and Goliath, all these. And then we just jump to the New Testament, and Jesus himself had Herod, the Pharisees, Jewish leaders, Judas, the devil, demons, and
the Romans.
It keeps going on and on, right? Nehemiah, the person that we're looking at in our passage of Scripture today, had Sanballat and Tobiah and others who oppose his work. So today, as we're in Nehemiah chapter 4, and you've read so beautifully for us this morning, Nehemiah faced opposition as he goes about the work that God put on his heart to do. So maybe this is your first Sunday joining us, and you're like, what are you talking about? Well, let me back up a little bit. Nehemiah, what I love about Nehemiah is he's called an ordinary guy.
He's just the cupbearer to the king.
All right, go ahead, give us history.
So the cupbearer of the king, the thing the cupbearer does is he tastes the king's wine, he eats the king's food to make sure that none of it's poisoned, so the king is always safe. He always brought good news, always wanted to be cheerful around the king.
The king?
King Artaxerxes.
Of?
Of the Persian Empire.
There you go. I got to
who
like,
lives
trip
in Susa.
Okay, stop.
A great citadel. Yeah.
So, but Nehemiah heard about this plight of his people. And maybe 1,000 miles away, he hears this horrible situation because their city had been destroyed by the Babylonians. This happens a lot in history. Think of what we've seen on the news lately. You see the complete destruction in places of Israel and Gaza, just total chaos. So Nehemiah has a heart for the people. And he realized that somebody has to do something about it. And he says, it might as well be me. He seeks God and asks a favor from God. He approaches the king. And again, like Jonathan said, you got to only bring good news to the king. So he asks, can I go back and rebuild the city? And it's a fascinating story, a spiritual journey and a heart for leadership of an ordinary guy who believed that God could use him to do something that hadn't been done before. You can read more of those details in the book of Nehemiah, and I wish we had time in real detail to go over them. But when he went back, Nehemiah started by rebuilding the gates before rebuilding the walls. He's leading a group of people to rebuild the sheep gate, the fish gate, the valley gate, the horse gate.
The dung gate. It was a stinky job, but somebody had to do it.
I told him to go with Watergate, but he said no, dung was better.
No, Watergate is too close to the current election season, so.
So I know if I'm rebuilding a gate, I want to go with a fish gate, right? There's got to be fish nearby. We'll have a beautiful day looking at the lake. And he's like, but what about the dung gate? Anyway. But what's crazy is Nehemiah is inspiring these ordinary people. They don't know how to build. They're not masons or carpenters. They're not skilled in this. They haven't been educated. They've never done it before. Yeah. They're goldsmiths and merchants and perfume makers. How you get a perfume maker to build a gate is kind of beyond me.
He was at the dung gate.
He was, okay. You got to stop.
I know, I got to stop. I'm sorry.
So there's this situation that's happening and it's going down. And what do we know? Just as we've already heard the passage of Scripture today, when the work begins, opposition shows up. The moment we start to do something that glorifies God, you can set your calendar to know that spiritual opposition is coming in.
Yeah, and we see this in chapter 4 of Nehemiah. And so we're going to start there at verse 1, a passage you've already heard read this morning. But it says there that when Sanballat, I'm South Georgian, so it comes out Sanballat. Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall. Sanballat's the bad guy. He became angry and greatly incensed. So what does Sanballat do? Well, he begins to ridicule the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he says, what are those feeble Jews doing? Now, you might think that's not a great insult, but it really is a pretty heavy insult, because the word feeble there in Hebrew has to do with a flower that has been cut off. It looks pretty, but it is already dead. I get flowers from the farmer's market sometimes.
No, and those I get flowers.
Yeah, I purchase flowers, she gets flowers. I purchase flowers from the farmer's market, and those flowers, as beautiful as they are already in the process of wilting, fading, and dying. And so whenever Sanballat says that this is a feeble thing that they're doing, he's saying it's destined for death and destruction. He's saying they're hopeless and lifeless. They have no chance of rebuilding these walls. What are those feeble Jews doing? Then he says, will they rebuild and restore the wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life those heap of rubble burned as they are? Yeah, he's mocking them. Yeah. He's yelling at them. So what do we see? When the work goes down, opposition shows up. And some of you know this because you've experienced it in your own life. Maybe over the past few weeks through the sermon series, you've thought, there's something that I need to do for the sake of the kingdom of God. There's some direction that God's pushing me in order to make a difference. And all of a sudden, opposition shows up. It could be as simple as you decided to come back to church. And as you were getting your kids in the car this morning, somebody left a shoe or their shirt wasn't ironed or you ironed the wrong dress.
That happened.
That happened, right? And you cussed under your breath a little bit, or maybe not under your breath, and you were frustrated. That's opposition, friends. That's what happens in the moment. And you feel like maybe we just shouldn't even do this. That's opposition. It could be that you're trying to get out of debt. You're trying to get your finances right so that you can do something great for the kingdom. And all of a sudden your car breaks down. Flat tires. It could be that you're serving in the nursery for the first time because, you know, you always have a first time serving in the nursery and you're finally choosing to honor God by caring for the little ones. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that sick 2-year-old throws up Fruit Loops all over your lap and you're like, I don't know if this is for
it's not my calling
me.
Anymore.
Spiritual opposition, right? It could be that you want to do something great and you tell someone who's close to you that God's calling you to take this step of faith and they say to you, who do you think you are? And those words just kind of cut you to the core. I hope that you'll understand this, that you shouldn't be surprised when you face opposition. Don't be surprised when you take a step of faith and see that the enemy pushes back because advancement invites opposition. When you take a step of faith, it invites our enemy, Satan, the devil, the evil powers of this world to target us. If you don't want any opposition, if you want things to be nice and easy, just stay on the sidelines, stay out of the game. Live a self-centered life,
it's about me.
And you're probably going to be left out of trouble. But anytime you start to make a difference for the kingdom, you'll find spiritual opposition. Nehemiah, he steps up, and Sanballat and Tobiah come to try and tear him down.
So the scripture talked about critics. They were mocking them. These guys, what do we do? How do we respond when the haters, right?
The haters. They got PhDs.
The naysayers, the doubters, those critics, what do we do with them? And the most of the time, what we do is we don't say anything. Most of the time, you don't say anything in response. Notice what Nehemiah does not do. He doesn't respond. He doesn't answer. He doesn't defend at what is happening. Our response isn't going to convert the people that are against us. How we respond to them, they've already made their mind up. They're not going to change their mind. The only thing it does is it validates the critics. When you acknowledge your critics, you're actually giving them power.
On Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter, X. I don't know what social networks you're on, but you're not going to convert anybody through the power of social media.
And they're not really that important. So if we don't respond, if we just ignore them, we keep going doing the work that God has called us to. So our goal should not be to change the critics. Our goal is to do the will of God. And let me just say, it's not easy when we step out in faith. Yeah. People will start criticizing you. It's never easy to deal with opposition. But it's even more difficult to deal with doubt when it's from the people that you love, the people you are closest to, that don't believe you. As Jonathan was saying, when those step in and say something, that's when it hurts to the core. And when something like that happens to you, you feel called by God to do something, to take the step of faith, and someone you love, someone you trust, someone that loves you is going to step in with those strong words of discouragement. When we step out, opposition steps in. And that's why that's why this is really important in any form of leadership, any form of influence or ministry. I try to always tell myself, I'm not going to be moved by praise or by criticism. I'm not going to let praise get to my head and inflate my ego. And I'm not going to let criticism get to my heart and tear me down. I'm not going to be moved by what people think. I'm going to be moved by what God thinks.
And Nehemiah knows this. He knows that he doesn't need to answer Sanballat and Tobiah. He understands that he only has to answer for God because it's God who's called him to this great work of rebuilding the walls and rebuilding the gates. So instead of engaging on a lower level with Sanballat and Tobiah, he turns to a higher power. And once again, we see Nehemiah pray. Now, you know, Nehemiah is going to pray at least 12 times throughout this entire book. These are just the prayers that we have. He surely prayed many, many more times than this. But Nehemiah, in the face of opposition, in the face of voices that are tearing him down, he prays. This is what he says in Nehemiah 4:4. He says, "Hear us, our God, for we are despised." The people are talking about us. People are threatening us. In other words, God, help us. We've got people coming after us. Now watch what Nehemiah prays. The next part is not what Jesus prays in the Lord's Prayer. Yes, instead of forgive them of their trespasses, he says, turn their insults back on their own heads, right? Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight. Nehemiah feels the sting of the words that have been said, but instead of trying to respond or answer, he takes his frustration and his pain to God. So in verse 6, he says, "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart." What did Nehemiah do in the face of opposition? He prayed to God. And he got back to work. He sought the heart of God, then he went back to do the work. And because the people worked with all of their heart, there wasn't enough room for the critics to get up inside of their heart. Because they were doing the work of God. They weren't lowering themselves down to fight those who were arguing about all sorts of petty things. Because they had a higher calling in doing the will and the work of God. They went to God in prayer, and then they got back to doing the work of God. Friends, I think sometimes we can be too spiritual. We can spend all our time in prayer when God is saying, go and do. We can spend all our time studying. We love to study in the Methodist Church, right? Yeah. We form a committee, we'll study, we'll pray about it, and we might get back to you in 3 to 5 years.
Sounds about right.
Right? Sometimes we over-spiritualize things. Sometimes God is saying, go, and the best thing we can do is not say a prayer, but go and get to work. Other times, we need to be very careful, and this is one of my problems. I'm a doer, and so I can spend all of my time doing and not enough time seeking the face of God in prayer. Sometimes we need to be a little less spiritual and a little more practical. And sometimes we need to be a little more practical and a little less spiritual. But whenever we feel the sting of opposition, we need to turn our hearts to God, asking for God to guide us, to show up. God invites us to pray and to seek His face, like this great work will only be possible through His power. Then He invites us to work like it will only happen through our efforts and energy. We've got to be spiritual and we've got to be practical. Take a look at verse 10 with me. It says, in the middle of all this criticism, in the middle of the work, Nehemiah's people come and they say, the strength of the laborers is giving out and there's so much rubble that we cannot build the wall. Last week we saw progress. Today we see discouragement. This is what happens often when we step into doing a thing that God is calling us to. We see a little bit of progress and suddenly a little bit of opposition or a lot of opposition. But the people go on, the people of Judah, Nehemiah's own people. They say, also our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them and we will kill them and put an end to the work. Our enemies, they're going to kill us. They're going to end this work that you say God is calling us to, Nehemiah. Then the Jews who live near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack. Nehemiah's friends, his people, his family, they're beginning to doubt. They're beginning to be filled with fear. They doubt their ability to get the job done, and they doubt God's power to make it happen. Friends, you're going to face external opposition in life, but perhaps the greatest opposition is that internal opposition that we have. That voice inside of us that says we'll never be strong enough or good enough or ready enough to take this next step. In fact, our external opposition will only be as loud as our internal insecurities allow them to be. Let me say that again. The external opposition we face, whatever they say, will only be as loud as our internal insecurities allow them to be. That's why we have to rise above it. That's why we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. That's why we have to continue to seek God and to do the good work that God's calling us to. And this is exactly what Nehemiah does. He prays to God, that angry, frustrated prayer he prays. And then he does this in verse 13. He says, therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords and spears and bows. And after I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Don't be afraid of your enemies. Don't be afraid of Sanballat and Tobiah and all of those evil voices out there. Don't be afraid of what they say. Why? Because we have a God who is great and awesome. Remember His power and His presence in your life.
So Nehemiah in this, he takes the focus off of himself and he puts it back on God. He takes the focus off of the critics and the naysayers and puts the focus on God. And he's saying, this isn't our battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. Our God is with us. Our God is for us. He never leaves us. He will never forsake us. We believe that all things are possible with our God. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We know that when we walk in, the power of our God walks in with us. May our focus is not on what they say. Nehemiah says, remember the Lord your God. Can you imagine just for a minute him standing before the nobles and preaching some version of a sermon, remembering the goodness of our God? Remember when our ancestors were in bondage and God split the Red Sea and we walked on dry land? When the enemies pursued us and God closed them up in the sea and washed our enemies away? Do you remember when God led us with fire by night and fed us with manna from heaven? Do you remember the goodness and the faithfulness of our God? Remember the Lord our God. The greater the opposition, the greater the opportunity for our God to fight for you.
Yes.
Nehemiah says this in verse 14. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Remember the Lord your God. And then he says, fight. Fight. Stand up for what we believe and fight for the goodness of our God. Fight for your families. Fight for your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. I believe that there are people here that need to hear this. Remember the Lord your God and continue to fight for healing. Remember the Lord your God and continue to believe that you can get out of debt. Remember the Lord your God and fight for your marriage. Remember the Lord your God and fight for your children to find freedom in Christ. Keep on fighting for that child that needs a family. Keep fighting for the victims that need healing and grace and hope, and treat them with dignity and honor and respect in every way that they've never had before. Keep fighting for those who lost and need to find hope in Christ. Whatever you do, whenever you do something that matters, there will be a battle. There will be opposition. But we must tell ourselves, if I'm not ready to face the opposition for my obedience to God, then I'm not ready to be used by God. And our prayer is, God, make me ready. God, help me to know your calling. God, help me to do what you've called me to do. I don't have to be chosen by people when I'm called by God. So step into God's will, remember the Lord, and fight. So in summarizing what we've experienced in this series so far, what do you do when something in the world that doesn't sit right with you on behalf of God? You sit down to cry, you kneel down to pray, and you stand up to act.
Yes.
And then with God directing your steps, what do? You faithfully seek God. You define the vision clearly. You make plans carefully. And you inspire people passionately. And then when that enemy, that opposition shows up and tries to slow you down, remember the Lord your God and fight for what you're called to fight for. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in doing good. For at a proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. So keep building, one stone at a time, one brick at a time, one moment of faithfulness after another, day after day, week after week, by the power of God and the grace of His people. I believe we can rebuild that wall, that you can be used by God, and you don't let the voice of any opposition stop you, to slow you or deter you, to distract you, because as I said, and Scripture says, greater is He that is in you than He is in the world. So may we step into it as we have the power of Christ to lead us today.
So this morning, you're invited to think about what God has called you to and to take a step of faith, knowing there's going to be opposition, that there's going to be times when it's tough, but knowing that what God is calling you to is His will and His work in your life and in the world. So let's pray this morning. Lord, we know in this life that we will have troubles. But we also know, God, that in Christ we are more than conquerors. That there is nothing that can separate us from the great love that is in you. And so we pray this morning as your people that we would surrender all of who we are to your grace, to your mercy, and to your goodness. We pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would be sent out into the world to do your will and your work. God, put us to going, put us to doing for the sake of the kingdom. And in it all and through it all, help us to keep our ears tuned to your voice, speaking confidence and hope and life into our lives. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.